Genesis chapter 24. By the way, I'm excited about our Thursday and Saturday visitations. I think Thursday we have between 12 and 15 people out. We've been going to Streetsboro, the homes in Streetsboro. Now, Brother Rich, I don't know where you've been. Are you going to Streetsboro too on Saturdays or Ravenna? Boy, I'll tell you, we had, I think, 12 to 15 people out on Thursday. We've been hitting Streetsboro and we're actually working out of Bobby's house, kind of like making that like the main home that we're working from. And so, but Thursday at 7 o'clock, we're going out door to door, witnessing the people. And Saturday morning, also, Brother Richard's got a group going out. And so, if you can't come on Thursday, come Saturday. If you can't come Saturday, come Thursday, whatever you want, you know. And that's what we just want to get the word of God out. And I was pretty excited. We had some good visits. And, oh, look at the baby. I haven't seen the baby. Yeah. Well, I'm going to preach quick today so I can see them babies. Children are a blessing of the Lord. Happy as a man is a quiver full. God has blessed our church. In the last 4 months, we've had 3 babies born in our church of our members. And actually, there's 4 because the little girl on the bus comes. She had a baby. And so we've had 4, in the last, I'd say, 5 months, we've had 4 babies born in our church. Not in our church, you know. People are going to walk and say, where are they delivering them at? The nursery? No. No, but they come to our church. And so you got to explain everything. I'm trying to teach you young guys. You got to make, because they're out. Do you know they're delivering babies over there at the Bethel Baptist Church? Brother Don's them. Brother John's going to be one of the midwives or something. I don't know. Amen. Amen. Anyways, we're glad for the children. We're glad for you. And don't leave until I get to see them babies, okay? Good to see you today. Genesis chapter 24. Look at verse 64. Good to have our visitors with us today. So glad to have you. Good to have everyone with us. Boy, with half the church out of here, we've still got a pretty full church with half of them gone out there in the land. I guarantee there's over 100 people right now out there in our land. Over 100. And so you put them in here with us, you've got a pretty good group here, don't you? Let's look at verse 64 through 67. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Be the last time I ask you to stand and to the end there. I'm in Genesis 24, verse 64. I'm in Genesis 24, verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that thou walkest in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. He actually went and got him a bride, what he did. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I'm going to talk to you today. I'm going to be working on the family and the home and marriage. I entitled this message, Till Death We Do Part. Till Death Do We Part. Father, help me to be a blessing. You put this in my heart. And Lord, help me be a blessing to the people. I really believe I've got something from heaven. God, help me now. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, thank you for my wife. 45 wonderful years. Oh God, you bless me beyond measure. Please bless my wife and all my family and my church. And Lord, just thank you for being so good to us. You really are good to us, Father. Thank you for those that were sick and those in the hospital that could be in church today. And just bless our people now. Be with the kids and the adults out there in the land. Let them have it like Brother Mike prayed, Father. Lord, may it be more than just the land. May they hear about the Son of God today. And may they be touched by heaven today for the things of God. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This chapter 24 of Genesis is a heart-touching story, how Isaac got his bride from the Lord. He just happened to get this lady. Rebecca was from the Lord. Can I say something to you? When you get married, you ought to know that that person you're marrying is from the Lord. I know Rosie was from the Lord for me. And I knew it when I married her, by the way. Yesterday, Rose and I celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. We were married on a warm, sunny day, on a Saturday, 5 o'clock. Man, June 28, 1969. Boy, those were the good years, weren't they? At Antioch Baptist Church, by pastor, our preacher then, Frank Milton. He's in heaven now. And Antioch Baptist Church is actually now called Heritage Baptist. Brother Dan Ellis, my good friends, Pastor Dan and Jeff Ellis, he pastors that church. And so every time we visit him, it kind of warms our hearts because that's the very church we got married in. 45 years ago, Rose and I took our vows to love one another till death do we part. As we looked into each other's eyes, we made a vow to each other and also to God Almighty. Not only were I, well, look, you get this now, listen to me, especially you younger ones. When you said that vow, I know you were saying it to that one you were going to marry, but you were actually saying that vow to God too. You made a pledge to God, I'm going to be with that person. Can anyone say amen? We made this vow to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And Rosie's known the poor. In sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. Till death do us part. That's how God planned weddings to be in marriages. You know, I love Rosie more today. I loved her when I married her. But you know, my love in those last 45 years, it's grown stronger and stronger. And if you've been married for any time, you should love that person that you married years ago more than when you first said I do to her. Amen? By the way, it wouldn't hurt you to tell her that you love her. My love for Rosie has grown stronger over the years since we've been married. And I believe every marriage should grow stronger and founder as the years go by. Today I want to share with you some thoughts with you about marriage. What God's Word teaches, the kind of marriage you ought to have, and the kind of mate you should have. First of all, men, by the way, I'm working on the men more than the ladies, but they're hearing it, so what you get, fellas, they're getting it too. Men, if you have a bride, you are blessed by God Almighty. Your wife, your bride, is a blessing to you, not a cursing. We ought to act like it. Proverbs 18:22, I'll just quote it to you. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Two things you get there, fellas, from Proverbs 18:22. God's word says your wife, when you got her, you got a good thing. I don't know what kind of thing she is, but God said she's a good one. She's a thing, but she's good. Says it's a good thing. And also, number two, not only did you get a good thing, you obtained favor of the Lord. Did you know the Bible says you obtained, when you got your bride, you obtained favor of the Lord? That means God bless you. Are you still listening to the preacher? I'm doing this deliberately just to make you think. Many times, even in the Christian churches, the man sometimes realizes, well, I'm married, but, you know, she's lucky to get me. No, you're lucky to get her. She is lucky to get you, but you were lucky to get her more, I think. Amen. You've obtained favor of the Lord. Girls, when you go home, you can say, hey, I'm that thing from God. And just remember, when you got me, you got favor of the Lord. How about a new dress Friday? Men, don't take your wife for granted. She's a gift from God for your life. I want you to turn with me. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis 2, 18. And the Lord God, I'm in Genesis 2, 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. How many see that? God said it was not good for you to be alone. You needed that. Look up here. Your wife is a completion for you. God, he said, man, he looked down, saw Adam, said, man, you're lacking some stuff, buddy. You need some help. And he made Eve. Eve was a completer of Adam. Did you know Adam really needed Eve? And by the way, it wasn't Steve, it was Eve. God's not in the queers. Now, he meant man and woman. I'm not preaching that today, but Scripture teaches that it was a man and a woman. Notice, man shall, look what it says there. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Man, notice what it says there in that verse 18. I will make him a helpmeet. God gave you that wife to help you. God gave you the wife to encourage you and to help you in your life, what you do in life. I'm going to tell you right, I look back on my life. And Ruthie, I know for a fact, I would have never made it in the ministry without Rosie. I was a kid, came off the streets. I don't know, she's the one, they're the one that took me to church. Hello? They're the one that showed me the Word of God. And then all these years, see, Rosie grew up in the church with her mom and dad, faithful, and she knew all about the being fundamental and how to be a good wife and how to take care of things, and God was preparing her to take care of me and to be a great pastor's wife, and she is a great pastor's wife. I'll tell you, most preachers, they don't do well because their wives don't do well, but it's worth having me just to have her. Seriously, I'm talking serious. You'd be crazy to lose me because you'd lose her. I think that, you know, we'll have 24 years here not too long. I think you've kept me all these 24 years just to keep Rosie. I remember I was at Lighthouse Baptist for 9 years, and one day, Ruthie, they said, preacher, you could, if you ever, now they said this kidney because you can't have a woman as, they said, if you ever leave, preacher, we're going to call Rosie to be the pastor. Women can't pastor, but they were kidding with me, but they were having fun with me. Listen, your wife, fellas, she's your helpmeet. Woman is God's completer for man. Men, you need your wife. Adam was not complete until God gave him Eve. Look at verse 20, Genesis 2:24. I'll get going here in just a minute. I'm just trying to lay a foundation. Look at 2:24 Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's the first marriage in the Bible, right there. Did you know God loves the local church, but He instituted the marriage in the home before he did the church. Men, notice what it says there. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall what? Cleave unto his wife. Hold on. Don't let go. Don't let her get away. By the way, young you women and men, you get in an argument, don't run back to your mom and dad. Don't be going boo, mommy, he did this, or dad, he did this. You stay home and work it out. The worst thing you can do, is get in an argument and then get on the phone, call your mom, or run home to your mom and dad and say, look what he did or what she did. Listen, that later that night, you're going to be smooching. And lovey-dove, the makeup. But your mom and dad aren't going to forget what you said. And you're going to ruin your home because that dad says, I'm going to rip his eyes out. He messes my little girl. I'll kill him. You know what I'm saying? I'll just kill. Hey, we're not kidding. Me and Donnie are, we're not. If they wreck my little girl, I'll kill you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen to me. You young people, there's some young couples here today. You work on your marriage and don't you run back to mom. You cleave on your, you leave. Look what it says there in verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, doesn't say not to love them, just keep loving them, and shall cleave unto his wife. Now, and why? Because the Bible says in the latter part of that verse, you're going to be one. You guys are one flesh together. You're a team. God's put you together for life. Don't say you can't get wisdom and stuff from your parents, but don't go tell them about your problems. Don't be telling about your fights. Keep that to yourselves. More marriages are ruined and the families are ruined because someone goes and says, well, he didn't do this for me, or she didn't do this, or she baked me a pie and it was all burnt. She can't cook. Then the mom comes over and says, here, honey, here's a nice apple pie. I knew she couldn't make it, so I made one for you. And she's standing right there. You just wrecked it. Hello? How many are hearing me this morning? I'm going to tell you right now, America's in trouble. The homes in America are in trouble. And more, the Christian homes in America are in trouble. And we better learn to get our homes right because America's being destroyed because the home is going down. The biggest need I see in America outside of people being saved is saving the homes. You don't have homes, you don't have nothing. Notice, a man shall cleave unto his wife. Hold on to your wife. Never let her go. Take your wife over your family. You have to choose between your wife and your family? Take your wife. You have to choose between your wife and your children? Take your wife. Take your wife over everyone. Mom, dad, even your best friend that you golf with or bowl with or play some game. Even your best friend, take your wife over them. Matter of fact, you know what the best thing to do? Make your wife your best friend. Rosie's more than my wife. She's my best friend. She really is. And you know what? You ought to make your wife your best friend. Outside of Jesus, men, outside of Jesus, your wife should be number one. And everyone should know it, including her. Hello? Does your wife know she's number one in your eyes? Does your wife know she's number one in your life? She ought to know it. There's a major breakdown in our homes today. There's an alarming divorce rate of over 50%. 50%. Now, I know there's some statistics in different ages. It's 41 to 50-some percent, no matter what age is in the bracket you get in. But overall, did you realize one out of two people that get married get divorced? Now, I'm going to say this to you. If you're divorced, I'm not knocking you. Matter of fact, I feel sorry because I know you're hurting because divorce hurts people. There's nothing good about a divorce. People that are divorced, and by the way, you're not a second-rate citizen. You're just as good as anybody else. And I'm going to tell you right now, but divorce, when people get divorced, their lives are hurt. You think that it's easy to have a divorce. You go talk to someone that has one. They'll tell you how much it hurt them. Notice, men, God has made you leaders of your home. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man. Men, you should do all you can to protect and to keep your marriage together. I mean that. You need to work at your marriages and say, I don't care what happens, I'm not losing my marriage. Divorce should never be an option. Me and Rosie got married. We took that word out of the dictionary. We'll never have a divorce. She'd kill me first. So far she hasn't, so we might make it. Divorce should never be an option. God's plan for you and your family should be your number one goal in your family. Ought to be your life to your wife forever, to the death do you part. I want you to look at something. Look at Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to give you some statistics. Matthew 19, verse 8. Let me tell you the divorce rate in America while you're turning to Matthew 19, 8. First marriages, 50%. Then you think that's not enough to hurt? The second marriage, there's 60% divorce rate in the second marriage. You say, well, I'll get another woman. She'll be better than the first one. Well, the first one was the best one you had, but you didn't realize it. Then the second one, there's 60% divorce rate in the second marriage, 60%. So only 4 out of 10 people survive. Third marriage is 73%. Try to hit it three times? Three times, and you're out. 73. Marriages that have no children average, and with no children, the average divorce rate for marriages that have no children, 66%. Children of divorced parents are prone to be divorced 4 times more than the children that did not have divorce. And divorce affects the children. Many children they withdraw and they feel unwanted. When you get a divorce, that child of yours suffers. They feel unwanted. And it affects them psychologically, socially, in their school and everything. It affects them. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 19, 8. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, look up here. Stay there. I'm just going to quote. In Deuteronomy 24:1, in Deuteronomy 24:1, God, Moses gave a writing of divorcement. So if a guy didn't like his wife or something, he could just actually give a writing of divorcement. You can find it in the Bible. Matthew or Deuteronomy 24:1. All through Deuteronomy 24. It's unbelievable. And the only reason he did it, it tells you why Moses did it. Look what it says there. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives. But watch. But from the beginning, when God started with Adam and Eve, it was not so. In other words, God always meant for a man to marry a woman, and they were supposed to be together forever till death do they part. That's scriptural. Amen. One man, one wife. Amen. Now, if your spouse dies, you can remarry. There's no problem there. But God meant for people to have one man, one wife. We're in a country today that over 50%. How is our kids going to respond to this? We're in trouble here in America. And you got preachers that don't preach on stuff like this. By the way, I'm not, again, if you're divorced, I am not looking down. I'm going to try to help you, encourage you, because I got more stuff I'm going to tell you. You still got hope. Amen? God could always restore that marriage of yours. And he could, there's only, if you look at, go ahead and look, there's one, look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 31. Boy, I hope the preacher don't have an anniversary next year. If I'd known he was going to preach on marriage and stuff, I wouldn't even came today. That anniversary kid. Matthew 5:31, it's been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. That was over in Deuteronomy with Moses, 24:1. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, cause her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced is committing adultery. So you only have one reason for a divorce, and that's fornication. When your mate was unfaithful to another person with you, for you, that's the only reason you have. Kids today, we just it just didn't preacher just didn't click. We just didn't seem to be able to make it because you didn't try to make it. But now, in my rest of my message, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to try to give you some thoughts why you didn't make it. The reason you didn't make it, you didn't marry the way you were supposed to marry. You weren't seeking God. Who should I marry? God, who's that person that's supposed to be in my life? See, our young people, I believe God's got a husband for you, honey. I really do. And he's going to be blessed because you are a tremendous catch. She's tremendous, man. We're praying that one day God sends a perfect man in your life. And he will if you'll just keep staying faithful like you are. God's got a man for you. He really does. And by the way, he's got a girl for you, Colton. Hello? How many? Colton said, me? Yeah, you. He's got one for you. But the key is, you wait and seek God to show you who you're supposed to have. You don't have to date 10 people to find out who you're supposed to have. Matter of fact, you should just be praying, God send the right one. You don't have to, when you find the right one, why should you, marriage isn't a dating game. It's what God brings two together that's supposed to be together. Hello? How many are still with me? So God says, he never was for divorce. I know people get divorces, but God's not for it. And by the way, you ask anyone who's been divorced, there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. Listen, marriage is ordained by God. God instituted and sanctified the home and the marriage before he instituted the church. Want me to show you the order you should be in your life? God number one, your home number two, church number three. That'll surprise you. God, home, church. You say, well, preacher, why wouldn't it be church? Because you got it. If you're never going to be right in church unless your home's right. You get a church full of messed up homes, your church ain't going to be very strong. It takes strong homes to build strong churches for Christ. And strong homes are built on the Word of God. Am I boring you folks? No, I'm not done, so keep hanging in there. Listen, men and women, listen to me. Marriage is not always easy. I'm confident the way I'm a real goofball sometimes. I'm confident there was, she won't tell you probably, but I guarantee you there was days that Rosie would want to just boink me over there and say, God, get me away from that guy. He's an idiot. But she didn't. She stayed with the stuff. You ladies that want to boink your husband over the head and walk away, boink him, but don't walk away. But don't boink him too hard. He's got to come back. Marriage is not easy. You need to work at it. You young couples near the back there, I'm a preacher's going to get you right now. You got to work at your marriage. It ain't just going to be great. You got to work at it. Work at it and work at it every day. What happens is this. You young couples, listen to me, and you older couples too, but don't take your spouse for granted. You need to love that spouse every day. Tell him you love him. Tell her you love her. You ought to be thoughtful, kind, caring. I'm going to tell you right now, that's how you keep a marriage. It's when you say, oh, I don't care about her anyways. You've lost. You've lost. How many are still with me? Marriage is not easy. You got to work at it. You need to learn. You need to learn to give and take. Many times you need to learn to put your spouse first and your desires last. Put her first. Men, women, and teenagers, let me give you a wonderful truth. And I'm almost done. Almost. You should not date a lot of different people. You should seek God to bring you the person you're supposed to have in your life. Marriage is not dating lots of people. Marriage is finding the right one that God has for you. Marriage is seeking God to bring the right person into your life that is ordained by God to be that very special person with you. See, look up here. I believe this with all my heart. I believe this. I believe your wife was ordained for you. I believe Rosie was ordained for you. Bobby, I believe Jamie was ordained. That wildcat, and her mom, wildcat mom, but it was ordained for you. Before you were even born, before she was born, God said, "Oh, Bobby's going to get born. I'm going to give him a wildcat. And she's going to have a grandma wildcat too." Because he's a tremendous man, but he needs a wildcat. But a good one. And before you kids ever even met, when you were just babies in diapers, before the world began for that matter, God knew that Jamie was going to be your wife. Isn't that exciting? Lori, God knew that. Marty, God made Lori just for you. That's pretty cool when you think about it. I mean, God made Lori just for Marty. Wow! Holy mackerel! That puts, woo! Tito Mel, God made Lonnie. He really did, just for you. I'm going back. Doug, God gave you an angel. Just for you. Linda was just for you. Where's the babies? I came back to see the baby. Okay, I was trying to fake preach him. I was really going back to see the baby. God gave your precious wife to you, for you. Look up here. Every man that's married, you know who gave you her? God. Buck, that's where you got your wife from, God. Look up here. Bobby, I know God gave you her. You wouldn't have a chance without her. Ain't no denying that. Miuna. Listen. Amen. God knows what we need. And if we don't try to get ahead of God, don't get ahead of God. Just stay pure like you are right now. And a good kid like you, God's going to bring someone in your life. And you don't have to date 25 girls. You say, God, you know who I'm supposed to be with in my life. God, bring me, send the mate that I'm supposed to have. That's Bible. And I'm going to show it to you right now. Will you stay with me for a few minutes? Listen, I truly believe God has a special person for those that are going to be married. I believe that with all my heart, he's got a mate for their life. I believe Rosie was chosen by God for me. I believe that. I would have never accomplished things in my life had it not been God's mate with me. By the way, it was not good that Adam was alone. You think, well, I can make it better without my wife. You're an idiot. Guys say that. They say, I'll make it better without my wife. So they get a divorce. What's the next thing they do? They go and get married again. Then they get married again. And they wonder, why is my life so tore up? They never stayed with the wife they were supposed to stay with. Marriage is, everything's not roses and peaches or whatever you want to call it. Everything ain't splendor when you're married, but you know what? You work at it, it can be pretty special. You have to work at your marriages. And you need to, look up here. I was hoping, I didn't know the kids were going to be gone today. But you know what? I fussed with God here. I said, I want all those young kids to hear this, God. He said, there's people out here that need to hear this more than those young kids right now. But you parents, you need to show forth the kind of marriages that those children are supposed to see to help them so they have the right kind of marriage. It is good. Our kids only know what they see from us. Notice, think, just like God brought Eve to Adam, I know for a fact 45 years ago God brought Rosie to me to be my Eve for my life. I want you to go back to where we first started, and I'll be closing. I want to read some, go back to Genesis 24. Marriage should not be just, let's fly to Las Vegas, and if it works, fine. If not, that's all right. I've had people do that. I had a guy not too long ago, he wasn't a member, but he came here quite a few times. He married this gal. They went to Las Vegas, and I think within the first month, she divorced him. Now, I like the man. But I'm just trying to say, God was not in that. You wonder, how do I mess my life up so much? Because you never let God in the factor of it. You factor God into your life, you'll be all right. I'm telling you right now, you are a jewel. And God, you're a princess, and God's going to bring you a prince. He is. You just stay faithful. You just wait on God, honey, because you're going to get a great husband. I mean that. You watch it. You just stay true to God. He's going to bring that mate for you. Amen? Notice, look at Genesis 24, verses 1 through 7. Maybe I'll preach something on my 50th anniversary, okay? You're getting the 45 rendition this year. 50 and kick the bucket. 24, chapter 24, I'm trying to get there. Look at verse 1. Look at 1 through 7. How many got Genesis 24? Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord thy God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Yeah, we're not supposed to marry the world. Christians are only supposed to marry Christians. Well, I'll marry him, preacher, he'll get saved later. Nope. If he's not saved or she's not saved before, then you shouldn't get married. The requirement, one of the big requirements, Colton, for you to get married is the girl you marry, she must be born again. And if you don't marry before you get married, she's not born again, that's not scriptural. He don't want us with the Canaanites. How many are still with me? He wants us with his own people, God's people. How many are listening to the preacher this morning? But thou, verse 4, shalt go only unto my country, to my kindred, yeah, the people of God, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Everybody, all the parents care about their kids. All the parents care about who their kids marry, if they got any salt in them. Hello? I prayed for 2 years that Jemuel would not look at any girl, because I wanted him to marry Nat Nat. I did. I said, God, I know he's the sharpest kid here, but Lord, don't let the girls get him. Lord, save him for Natalie. And he did. Amen? Because I really felt, now only they have to know that, but Grandpa, I felt that they were right for each other, that they were both Christians, faithful, loved God, sold out. What better is that? So I'm excited about what God can do. We just let him do it. But thou shalt go unto my country and my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Preadventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land whence thou comest? Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. No, you don't go back. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto he. You'll take a wife unto my son from thence. I've got someone out there. I've got a prepared person for him. Listen, Isaac, I've got the bride for Isaac. Let's just go through the right channels. I'm God. I'm the right channel to get your bride. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swear to him concerning this matter. Wow. Drop down to verse 12. And he said, now the servant's talking. By the way, you know this servant is a type of the Holy Spirit. You know the study of this. What's the servant going to bring? A bride. Come here with me. The servant is going to go find a bride for Abraham, for Isaac, his son. The servant is in type of the Holy Spirit, because what's God calling out now? He's calling out a bride. Romans 7:4 says, you're married to another, even to him that raised from the dead. This is a great truth, about a spiritual truth, about how God calls out a bride for himself. Talking about the church. How many are still with me? But you can also use this application for a physical marriage, because it's got the same application for everything that you do. How many are still with me? Verse 12. O Lord God, my master Abraham, I pray thee, Godspeed, and show kindness unto me, unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, the daughters of men, the city come out to draw water. He's talking to God, the servant. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I say, lay down thy pitcher, I will pray thee, I make a drink, she shall say, drink, and I will give her thy camel's drink also. Let the same be that thou hast appointed for the servant Isaac. In other words, he said, God, the woman I'm supposed to have for this bride for Isaac, let her say and do these things. He put out a fleece. How many are still with me? He said, God, the one I'm supposed to have for Isaac, let her say these things and do these things. Well, she did. You know the story. You read. She did do exactly what he said. How many are still with me? Now watch. Pick up in verse 34. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out. Wow! And was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. In other words, she was a good looker. And she was a virgin. How many see that? If there ever was a time, Bobby, you could preach on stuff, and the preachers, we need to challenge our kids to stay pure until they're married. Stay pure till you get married. Stay pure till you get married. When you get married, it's so special when kids save themselves and they come together for the very first time. That's how God made it, ordained it to be. Can anyone say amen? Watch. Look at verse 34. I'm jumping around here. And he said, I am Abraham, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he had given flocks and herds and silver and gold. Drop down to verse 36. Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master. He's telling the story now to the people. When she was old, and unto him was given all that he hath, and verse 37, and my master made me swear that thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. No, you can't marry the lost. You got to marry saved people. Well, he'll get, oh, preacher, but she's so pretty. Don't matter. She's not saved. You don't want her. Colton, I don't care if you could marry the prettiest girl in the whole world. If she's not saved, you married wrong. I don't care if you find that most handsome, and I believe your kids will both find good-looking kids too, but even if you found the most handsome wife, handsome husband, I'll get it right. Amelia, if you got the most debonair boy, with Brill Cream on. The old folks know what I'm talking about. Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. Mm-mm, it looks a little up in there. Billy, remember that one, Billy? I don't care what he looks like. If he's not saved, he's not for you. Don't say, preacher, would you pray about me getting married to that guy? I'll say, no. I'll not pray about that. I'll pray that he gets saved. Then we'll talk about marriage. But I ain't praying nothing about a marriage till it's equally yoked together. That's why most families have trouble. They marry and they're not equally yoked together. You're actually marrying the mother's a devil because they're not saved. Hello? Quiet in here now, isn't it? Verse 38, thou shalt go into my father's house, and verse 38, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. We're talking about getting a bride. We're talking about getting a wife. And he went to God's people. He had a caring father. He had a caring father that wanted to make sure his son married the right daughter, right girl, from the right place, with the right Christian background. How many are still with me? Now note I wrote it. Look at verse 51. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go and let her be thy master's son's wife. Wow. As the Lord had spoken. How many are getting this? See, that marriage that you're going to have, it ought to be all God, or it ought not be it at all. If God wants you to get married, he'll have that mate for you. And by the way, you ought to, if it ain't the one God has for you, you're going to be sorry. Years ago, when I was probably 15, I had a couple come to me and they wanted to get married in this church. It was an older couple. And I said, no, I'm not going to marry you. He said, what? I said, I don't believe God wants you to get married. Because I counseled with them for a couple times, and I could see they were not matched, and it would have been bad. And they said, what? We're only a week away from, I'm not marrying you. Go find somebody else. They started to cuss. I just stood there. Cuss away, not marrying you. Then they started to cry. Then they started to thank me. You're right, preacher. Because the guy broke down. I didn't want to get married. I didn't either. I was just doing it because I. They went from cussing me to praising me. They were hugging me almost on the way out. They were hugging me and kissing me. Bobby, you know why? The man of God stood for truth. It's not always easy to stand for truth in the midst of all the stuff, but you got to stand for truth. And people are looking for a real man of God. They'll just tell them what they need to hear. Too many patsies in the ministry today. We got to have real men of God that says, no, God's not in this. And they were both saved. But I can see God wasn't. They couldn't live together. They weren't living together. They couldn't get along not being married. They were at each other's, gouging each other's eyes out before they were married. I said, how are you going to be married? You can't get along not married. What happens when you got to stay in the same house with her 24 hours a day? They actually thanked me. They did. And they didn't get married either. I saved them some heartache. And not only that, I wasn't part of what God didn't want to be. That was most important. Look at verse 63. I got to close this out. And Isaac went out to meditate. Look up here. Abraham sent a servant. That servant's a type of the Holy Ghost. Looking for a bride. How many are still with me? You know the story. And he goes and finds Rebecca. He gets the right bride, the right person, The person, watch this, the person that God had already ordained to be Isaac's bride. It wasn't by accident God ordained Rebecca to be Isaac's bride. If we would just let God put us together with the mate we're supposed to be, look, he knows better for us. Amen? You wonder why a lot of kids get in trouble? They date about 20 different kids and they wonder, and they get into trouble, and you wonder why? Because they just didn't wait for God. Wait on God. 63, and I'm all done. 63. I got four verses I'm going to read. Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Buddy, what do you think he was doing, Bobby? He knew he had a bride coming, buddy. But he was nervous. He's out in the field. Oh, God, bring me that bride. Oh, God, I can't wait to see what she looks like. Come here with me. And he just lost his, you read prior, he just lost his mama, so he's hurting over his mama, because he definitely was a mama's kid. Come here, still with me. He's out meditating means he's praying. He's seeking God's face. God, can you send me that bride? God, can you send me the right bride I'm supposed to marry? That's what you need to be doing. God, send me the right person. How many are still with me? See, God can do it for anybody. Hello? Rebecca lifted up her eyes, verse 64, when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that thou walkest in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Hey, let me tell you about your bride. I went, this is where she's from, and this is how we got her, and this is what I did. I put out the water and stuff, and she did that, and oh my. See, there was no doubt that God was in this all the way. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his what? His wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I want to tell you right now, God knows who he wants us to marry. And if we'll let God work in our life, he'll bring you the right person. You just got to be wanting. You got to be wanting the right person. And you got to be wanting to wait for God. Not my will, but thine will. Let God bring that spouse to you in the time he deserves, and the person he feels right for you. I don't think I've ever said this to you. I know I've said this. I remember when I first met Rosie. I was at the sweet shop. Edith's sweet shop on Galena. Yeah, Tutti Frutti. We used to have Tutti Frutti's there. Do you remember the Tutti Frutti's? Boston coolers. And the young people don't know. Maybe this is an old person message. And this will work good for you guys. You guys know what I'm talking about. Rosie came in. She had these huge curlers. I had never met her. And her mom was doing next door doing the laundry. And they had the laundromat there. But they used to have coolers for ladies about this big. I mean, you would think the Martians were coming. I mean, they would have been a great antenna for, if you could put some, you know, for the, bring the TV in or something, you know. But she was so unbecoming the first time I saw her, but something in my heart said, I like her. She's different from all the girls I ever met. She was different from the girls I was with. She grew up with the Lord. And I know God brought her into my life. 45 years, yesterday we celebrated our 45th anniversary. I hugged her and told her I loved her. And I can't thank God enough for my wife. How she's meant so much to my life, all down. How all the ministries we've done, I would have never made it without her. But God chose Rosie for me. And your mate should be chosen too. And you that are not married, don't marry until God gives you the right one. I'm going to say this. I know I've never said this from the pulpit. I don't think Rosie knows this. We were only probably a month away from getting married. And I got cold feet. Not that I did. I knew I loved Rosie, but marriage was a big thing for me. And one night I was laying in my bed thinking about, should I try to break this thing off? And I'm not a hokey pokey guy. Please don't when I tell you this, don't think I'm on drugs, because I'm not. I got a lot of insulin in me right now, but Donnie, you could put a gun in my head and I would not retract what I'm going to tell you. This is the truth. I said, God, I don't know about getting married. And I heard like something within me said, don't you fear. She's ordained for you. I meant her to be for you. I know you think I'm not. It literally came to me. It made me, oh my, I'm supposed to be married. Sure glad I married her. Got to travel life, first class. You want to travel life first class? Marry that one that God has ordained for you. Stay with that one that God has ordained with you. Stay together. Work at your marriage. Make it work. There's a lot of times me and Rosie have arguments. We're not perfect. Well, she almost is, but I'm not. If we would just, Brother Mercado, if we would just work hard at just loving the one that God gave us. Some of you younger guys, you get out there, you start looking at other women where you work. Oh, boy, then you get in a fight with your wife. Next thing you know, you're off somewhere else. You better stay. You know what? Let me say to you young people, you stay close to your wives. You stay close to your wives. You go on vacation, you both go on vacation together. You stay here, honey. I'm going down to Orlando on the beach. You stay here and take care of the kids. I'm going to go take a vacation. You're an idiot. Amen. Yes, sir. She's an idiot if she lets you go. That's right. Amen. Call me up. We'll both hit them over the head. Amen. Our marriages are in trouble. I'm talking about fundamental churches. Marriages in the churches are in trouble because we're not seeking God and we're not honoring God with our marriage like He wants us to do that. Father, thank You for the time we've had. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd bless our people. God, bless our homes, bless our marriages. Lord, I know we have a lot of young people in this church. Lord, I pray that they would seek Your face. Lord, that they would get the mate from heaven. That they would not get second class the world. That they would not choose a mate from the world, but they would get their mate from God. Isaac got his mate from God. Rebecca was ordained for Isaac long before they were ever born. God had prepared him a bride. And Lord, I'm glad You prepared the church for Your bride. We look forward one day meeting You, Father, and being with You forever. We're married to another, even to Him that's raised from the dead. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, I need to be a better husband or a better wife. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. I need to be better. Yes. By the way, I need to be better. I'm not perfect. But I know one thing. I know where I got my wife. I got my wife from heaven. when you realize who you have and how you got that person, it's sure a lot easier to love and do what you're supposed to. Please, Father, bless these people. Bless these marriages, oh God. Especially these young couples, Lord. Please, help them. Help them to seek your face for their marriage. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. What verse are we singing, brother? 394. You come right now.